So for my message tonight, I want you to open your Bibles to Genesis 1. I will read two verses from there, and then I'll jump to Romans 7. So I'll start with Genesis 1, verses 26 and 27. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, in our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air, over the livestock, over all the earth, and over all the creatures that move along the ground." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. And now Romans 7, starting with verse 21 through 25. Romans 7, 21 through 25. "So I find this law at work. When I want to do good, evil is right there with me. For in my inner being, I delight in God's law. But I see another law at work in the members of my body, waging war against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner of the law of sin at work within my members. What a wretched man I am. Who will rescue me from this body of death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, I myself in my mind am a slave to God's law, but in the sinful nature, a slave to the law of sin." Last time I preached, I tried to define character. And if you remember, the word character comes from the Greek word character with a K. And it meant the mark that gave a coin its value. And as I was trying to define it, I said that in order to have a Christian character, we have to have the mark of God on us. We have to surrender to him, absolute surrender to God. We have to pledge allegiance to him. And it wasn't about doing something, but it was about being something, being a son of God. And tonight, I would like to go over the facilitators, things that help us in our quest to develop Christian character, and also over the hindrances, the things that stop us from developing a Christian character. And the first thing that I want to stop over is one of the facilitators. And that this facilitator is the quality, the imago Dei qualities, the image of God. As we saw in Genesis 1:27, God created us in his image. Suntem creați după chipul și asemănarea lui Dumnezeu. And this is one of the greatest facilitators, because what does that mean? It means that we're like God in our morality, we're like God in our spirituality, in our intellectual capacities. We have all the qualities that God has except his omni qualities. We're not omnipresent, we're not omniscient, we're not omnipotent. We have the other qualities. What are the qualities that we have that God has also? We have love. We have companionship. We have the need to relate to one another, the need for relationship. We have wisdom. We have righteousness. We have patience. We have purity. We have hope. We have joy. We have transparency. We have fellowship. We have faithfulness, integrity, vision, and many more. We are like God. We were created in the image of God. He even gave us dominion, as the first verse that I read said. We have dominion over the earth. We have control over the earth. We have the power to rule over this earth, because God gave it to us. Just like he has dominion over this universe, we have dominion over this earth. We long for a relationship with God. We long for a relationship with each other, and this is where character develops, in relationships. We need each other. Character doesn't develop when you're by yourself, when you're away from others, when you're like a monk living separated from the world. This is where we develop character. When I have to interact with you, when I, you know, maybe you step on my shoe and I have to react, that's when you develop character. When you're in a relationship with other people, we just have to look at Jesus. He's our best example in this. He was the perfect example for us. Think about it. He loved the people who betrayed him. He prayed for the ones who were killing him on the cross. "Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing." And he did that because he was obedient to God. He did that because he knew that God's plan was greater than anything else. He did that because he had absolute surrender to God. Remember, you want to develop Christian character? You have the greatest facilitator right there. You're created in the image of God. But there's a problem, and this is where the hindrances come from. There's a problem with the image of God in us today. Because when Adam sinned, when Adam was disobedient in Eden, he brought sin into our world. He brought death. If you read Psalm 51, David says, I was born in sin. And that's the nature of sin, the sinful nature, the flesh. We call it in Romanian, firea noastră pământească. And this thing stops us because it distorted the image of God. If we look at in Galatians 5:19, we get a better idea of what's included in this sinful nature. And Galatians 5:19-21 says the following: the acts of the sinful nature are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity, and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. This is what Adam's disobedience did. This is what the sinful nature that we're born in. This is what it means for us. So when you're lying, when you're stealing, when you're caught up in your addictions, when you're disobedient to your parents, disobedient to the church, to the pastors, disobedient to your teachers, disobedient to your boss, you're exercising, you are an example of that sinful nature. When you bully others, when you gossip, when you hate, we're displaying this. Just like we saw in the verses from Romans, when we're trying to do good, but what comes out? Bad comes evil. Just like Paul said, we're exemplifying this sinful nature that's within us. And what else is this sinful nature? It is the delusion that we can create our own life separate from God. It is the delusion that, you know, I'm in control of my own life and I will do whatever it takes. It is the delusion that if I'm strong enough, I'm smart enough, if I'm, you know, I'm good looking enough, if I have a charming personality, I will succeed no matter what I do. Is it that delusion that we can distort God's plan? For example, God created us to have relationship with each other. But when you're run by the sinful nature, you use those relationships to advance. You step over whoever it takes just to get to the top. God gave us dominion, right? He said, you have control over the universe, over the earth. Okay, the things of the earth, you have control over them. But when we're driven by the sinful nature, we want to acquire more. More than we need, we want more just because we're selfish. And we distort the image of God. Instead of caring for the people that God put in our life, instead of helping them, instead of having a good relationship with them, we're using them. The sinful nature has to do with the work Satan does in this world. And there's two ways Satan affects us. Is from the outside and from the inside. I'll start first with the outside. I'm not an expert in this, so maybe the pastors will take more time to talk about this. But we all experience this. Lies that the devil tells you. When he tries to put doubt in your mind. When it tries to put fear in your heart. And speaking about fear, I have seen this a lot the last week or so. One of my colleagues was so stressed out and so many doubts that he actually became physically ill and he couldn't attend to the graduation that we had this past Friday. And at graduation, I don't know, whoever did the seating chart put next to me one of the most obnoxious kids that we have on our campus. And we clashed a few times because he was in my senior class. And I don't know why they chose to do it, but I guess it was God's plan. And I was, oh man, I'll have to take care of this kid the whole graduation. He's going to do something stupid. But as we were walking out, he was the quietest kid ever. And I sensed in my spirit that he was anxious, that he was afraid. And I asked him, what's going on? Why are you afraid? Because you were looking forward towards this graduation. He said, I don't know what's next. I'm afraid of what's to come. And most kids were looking forward towards what's to come, and he had no idea what's to come. And that's what the devil does to us. He puts fear in our heart. What's to come? Who's in charge of the future? Who's in charge of what's to come? God, Jesus Christ, is in charge of that. And we shouldn't have fear. We shouldn't have unbelief. We shouldn't have any doubts. How many times have you doubted your salvation? How many times have you doubted that you were forgiven by Jesus Christ? You were forgiven. How many times have you done that? That comes from the devil. Those are the thoughts that he puts into your mind. And then he also works from the inside, but only when we allow him, when we open the door. And what are a few doors that we leave open for the devil to come inside and work from the inside? When we're not forgiving. Unforgiveness is one of the doors. Sin, it's another one. Emotional trauma or physical trauma that we have not dealt with, that's opening the door for the devil to come in. When we take inner vows or we make judgments, we open the door. You know, when you say, I'll never be like my father, you open the door for that. I'll never do this. You open the door for the devil to come in. So God created us in his image. We're created in the image of God. And that could help us develop Christian character. But then Satan came, used Adam and Eve to bring sin into this world through their disobedience. And that distorted the image of God. And I would like to stop at the third thing, and the last thing that I'm going to talk about tonight is the thing that brings it all together, and that's the Holy Spirit. The last factor, the greatest facilitator to develop Christian character, is the Holy Spirit. Because who is the Holy Spirit? We heard it before in this church. You know, was it 2 weeks ago that we have the day of the Pentecost? 2 weeks ago, right? Something like that. He's the third person of the Holy Trinity. He's the counselor. He's the Spirit of truth who lives in us and is with us in this world, as we see according to John 14, 16, and 17. When you're born again, when the image of God is being restored in you, that's the work of the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit regenerates us. If we look in John 3, verses 3 and 5, and once we're saved, once he regenerates the image of God in us, he's keeping us through the power of God. And that's according to 1 Peter 1:5. He guides us according to John 16:13. He gives us discernment to know what's right and what's wrong according to 1 Corinthians 2:10 through 16. He gives us gifts for ministry. That's 1 Corinthians 12. He illuminates our minds and reveals the things of God. That's 1 Corinthians 2:12 and 13. He teaches us what to say, when to say it, if we look at Luke 12:12. And then when we go through the trials, when we go through problems in our lives, he helps us. John 14, 16 to 26, he gives us joy. He puts a joy in our heart. That's Romans 14, 16, 17, and comforts us. Acts 19:31. The Holy Spirit is the one that can actually formate Christ's character in you. The Holy Spirit is the one that restores the image of God in you. And in conclusion, I want us to look at John 15. John 15, where God talks about, Christ talks about, I am the vine and you are the branches. And we have to understand, the only way you're saved is through the saving grace of God. Having faith that his sacrifice on Calvary brings us forgiveness, and the Holy Spirit regenerates us. And as we look at this, this chapter, John 15, you can read this at home. This shows the whole process. Christ says, "You are the branches, I am the wine, the vine, and if you're separated from me, you don't bring fruit." And I think Andrew Murray used a very nice metaphor for this. Andrew Murray says, the Holy Spirit is the sap, the life that goes from the vine to the branches. And if you're separated from the vine, there's no sap coming to you. If the Holy Spirit is not there to bring you life, then you're dead. The only way to receive life is to be next to Christ. The only way to bring fruit is to have the Holy Spirit work in us and through us. Without Him, remember, Christian character is who you surrender to. Without Him, without Christ, without being surrendered 100% to Christ, without being dedicated 100% to Christ, without following Christ with everything you have. Remember the story of the young ruler when Christ told him, sell everything you have and come and follow me. He couldn't do that because they say he had a lot of wealth. He loved his wealth more than he loved Christ. And if you're struggling, if you're living in this world and you're struggling like Apostle Paul said, I'm trying to do good, but evil is right there next to me. Rolsta lipit de mine. Think of this. Are you in Christ? Are you connected to the vine? Are you connected to the one that gives you life? If not, I invite you tonight to come before God and ask for forgiveness and say, I want to be part of this. I want to have the image of Christ restored in me, the image of God. I want to be renewed through the Holy Spirit. And I'm sure that if you're sincere, if you're honest, if you really want this, God will do it in your life. Thank you. Amen.